This is about kind of that whole concept of pancake evangelism next week. And reading just three verses this morning from 1 Peter 3:13-15. Let's read alternately if we can. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. One of the responsibilities in this kind of stewardship serving the Lord series is the Lord wanted us to, as a people, to be a light and sort of a witness for Jesus in our community, right? To make ourselves available to other people that don't know Jesus, to be a testimony of the love of God through Jesus. You know, a couple of basic verses there. The next slide, I think. Jesus said at the end of his ministry, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, I'm concerned about everybody. And I want you to do that. Acts 1:8, he said, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You see, it's impossible not to receive the power of God, the love of God, through the Holy Spirit without doing something in your life. Right? You've got to do something. And that something is what people should be able to see. You know, don't hide it. You know, like, who, me? A Christian? I'm not a Christian. But, there should be some kind of fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, patience. There should be something supernatural like that in your lives if you've got Jesus in something, you know. So, we're all in process, of course, but Jesus is in there, which is wonderful. Now, there are different ways to be a witness to Jesus. One of the most common ways, is to, you can be very assertive in your witness, and I know there are some who have that gift. The apostles themselves would be very public in their testimony. They go to, preach evangelistically on the streets and whatever. It's fantastic. But most Christians, it would appear, didn't. And I don't have that particular gift, I don't believe. And but we can all be a witness by the love of Jesus in our hearts. And I tend to be a quiet person, you know that. And many of you are quiet. And for example, even in I remember in college, seminary, when I was going to seminary, in the classes, or whatever, I very seldom say anything. All the other, and so one time, one of the profs says, "Ted, you don't say much. What do you think? How come you don't talk more or something like that? I forget what it was." And I didn't say what I'm about to tell you, but I live by a philosophy that says, "Better to be quiet and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all shut up doubt." That's my philosophy. Amen. Eh? So, but I can still be a witness, right? Because Jesus is inside of me. And one of the most popular ways that we can all be a witness is by that light. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, I think that's the next one there. Yeah, we are. He describes something what we call lifestyle evangelism, that just living with the life of Jesus in us before people. And he says in his Sermon on the Mount, he says in Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. And as a result, say, wow, you got a wonderful Father in heaven, don't you? Right? They just see what's going on inside of you. What do you got there? A light. Tell me about this wonderful Father that you have. Right? And you say, well, what does that mean? What does the light look like? And really, in the context, he's just given he started his sermon out by giving the Beatitudes, eh? I like the Beatitudes. So here's he says, in the same way. What do you mean in the same way? Well, he's talking about the Beatitudes he's given. What's it mean to have a light? What's the next slide there? He's talking about, first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means, essentially, I need the Lord. I in and of myself, I'm spiritually bankrupt. But what does he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a crazy concept to come before God with nothing. And he says, okay, I'll give you everything. Isn't that weird? It's good news. Because I'm not under a lot of pressure to perform, right? It's wonderful. Just I come in broken. So I got nothing, Lord. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Let me give you everything. That's all he's waiting to hear. You need me? Yeah. Let me give you everything. Isn't Christianity easy, really, when you think about it? How hard is that? Well, it's hard in our pride. I admit that. It's hard because we have to believe it and have faith. That's hard. But in essence, it isn't hard, right? If you can trust God and say, yeah, okay, here I am. And what a wonderful thing to what a lot of pressure off of our lives to be able to just walk through life and say, you know what, I ain't got much, but Jesus loves me just the way I am. And I just keep on telling him that, and he just loves me. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? Does it take pressure off your life? Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of pressure off my life, because I can be pretty goofy sometimes. You know? I got a lot of shortcomings. But you know what? He says, just step out in faith and trust me. Yeah, okay. You know, I'll, as long as you look to me, I just embrace you and give you everything you need. The kingdom of heaven is yours. And on and on and on. Mourners. You're like, oh, what's that? Like, well, it's like, you know, like, all of us have hurts inside. Would you agree with that? Wounds and hurts. Sometimes because of the bad things. You know, the things we've done, we've hurt ourselves and hurting other people. Sometimes bad things and people have done to us. Sometimes just the circumstances of life. There's a lot of hurt and pain within each one of us. And I know that's true. Some of us say, well, it's not too bad. But we tend to cover it over and whatever. He says, let it go. Give it to me. I just want to give you a good hug and just love you and heal you. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Eh? Is that good or bad? No. Just give it to God. Let him heal you. Anything. I don't care. And it's not like, oh, you bother me. What are you sniveling about now? You bother me again about this. All I hear is groaning, groaning, groaning. I don't want to hear that anymore. Get with the program, man. He said, I don't care. You got hurt, you give it to me. I'll give you a good hug. Is that a good God or what?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. And meek, what's that mean? We go on and on, but what's the next verse? This verse, meek, comes from the next slide. It comes from Psalm 37. It's a quotation really from Psalm 37. And here's the context of what it means to be meek. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I love that. Because sometimes, you know, there's stuff that needs to be done, things that need to be accomplished, and I feel totally inadequate. You know what I mean? He says, relax, Ted. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. In other words, when they carry their wicked schemes. There's a lot of bad things happening in life. There's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of bad, you know, stuff that we see. Well, it's just, you know, these people are succeeding, and it shouldn't be this way. And he says, don't get angry. You know, refrain from anger. Don't turn from that. Don't get ticked off. Because, you know, unscrupulous people are getting ahead of you and stuff like this. Don't fret. It only leads to evil. But the meek, you know, just trust me, right? Wait, be still. You'll inherit the land, the earth, is what the New Testament says. There it is right there. Your meek will inherit the land of the earth. And you'll enjoy great peace. So, the true Christian life is supposed to be one of great peace. Would you agree with that? Amen. Just relax. Give it to me. Let me take care of it. Relax. This is the light I'm talking about, right? This is the context where Jesus said, therefore let this light shine. Cool, eh?
Oh, yeah.
It's cool. I like it. And what have you. What's the next thing there? Living in Christ's righteousness. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and You'll be filled. In other words, if you come to me with your emptiness, I have some righteousness of my own, but it's flawed. You know what I mean? My righteousness is flawed. There's always a certain element of selfishness there. A certain element of pride mixed with it. So I just come and say, Lord, you know, I can minister in my own righteousness with this flawed stuff. Or I can just say, why don't you just pour your love, pure love and grace into me? Because I need it. I don't have it. Think he'll do something like that? Think that really, you know, think he would do that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, blessed are the merciful, for, you know, they should receive mercy. Like, I want you to be merciful to people. I want you to be compassionate and forgiving. And you'll find that when you're very patient and compassionate and forgiving to people who, you know, hurt you and whatever, you'll find when you're that way towards people and you're patient with people, you'll find that they have a tendency to be the same way to you. Have you found that out? Isn't that wonderful? If you're really patient and loving and kind and merciful to people, you'll find that they have a tendency to be the same way to you. Blessed are the pure in heart. That, In other words, I don't want you to just look pure and have all sorts of bad stuff going on inside. You know, like, oh, hello, brother so-and-so, sure, wonderful day, isn't it? And God loves you. And inside you think, but what a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, it's possible. Does stuff like that happen? But that's not being pure in heart, is it? No, it says, Lord, change my heart. You know, like, you know, give me a love for this person from really inside. And, you know, I'll have to wait for you. You got to wait on the Lord sometimes, right? It doesn't happen overnight sometimes. But just keep on praying, Lord, you know. I just want to be, I mean, outwardly I'll still be friendly to this person, but honestly, Lord, I need that real love inside, to be honest with you. Because I don't want to live in bitterness. Do you? It's like a spiritual cancer that destroys us. God doesn't want us to live in bitterness. So, you know, peacemakers, you know, I don't want to be, you know, you cannot, when things happen, you know, and there's conflict, you know, we can always join the conflict and say, yeah, I'm going to be on your side, that's wrong. We can always join the conflict and be peace disturbers. Or we can say, you know, how can we solve this problem? How can the love of Jesus address this issue of conflict? Right? It's a choice. And he says, I want you to be in that camp. And here's the final one. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. How weird is that? Isn't that weird? Like, what's your first response when someone persecutes you, when someone says tells lies about you, when someone tries to do you in just because they don't like you? What's your first response? Joy? I'll be honest, it's not mine. But, you know, the Christian life is such that when we start living this way, you know what I'm saying? Get the whole package deal. When we start living that way and just allow God's grace to just pour into our lives, we will come to the point where even when people are mean to us, we'll respond not with bitterness or get even or just clenching our teeth, but we'll respond with joy. How good is that? Would you like to come there? Yeah. To that place? So that's the light, I think, that Jesus is talking about. Someone once said to me, actually, it was just yesterday, someone was talking to me, and they said, they're talking about my 3-month leave of absence, and the discussion got to be, well, I guess, you know, pastors are under a lot of pressure and stuff like that. I said, well, yeah, the stats aren't good, you know, like, I forget what the stats are, but they're not good. Like, you know, within the first 5 years, most of the pastors who start out in the ministry are out, gone, that's it, history. And only about, you know, 10 to 15%, you know, actually retire as a pastor that start out, you know. And there's a lot of grief and stuff. And I said, by nature, you know, I'm not, you know, really cool, emotionally mature person. You know, I've been designated. I went down to Seattle, and they said, "Oh yeah, you've got ADD. You've got mood disorder. You have an anxiety disorder. Blah 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 blah." And they showed me a picture of my brain, and it was all messed up and everything. And then they said, "You chose an interesting profession to be in with this stuff." And I said, "Well, I don't think I chose it, you know." Hey. So who cares? Does it make, you know, is it my righteousness? Is it my ability? If God says, I want you and I'll use you, you just step out. Do you think he can do that? Yeah. Wow. That's the way to start. So I told him, I said, yeah, I said, you know, I think one of the reasons that I've been able to stay in the job as long as I have is because I have low expectations of myself, low expectations of the people around me, and high expectations of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to live by grace, not by performance. Not to show other people and God how wonderful I am, because I ain't. But you know, God loves me. I'm still valuable, eh? But it's I just want Jesus. You know, there's the Holy Spirit, right? He comes into you. I just want Jesus to leak out of me once in a while. That's all. And my idea of progress is he leaks out more and more every year. I want people to see Jesus. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. Isn't that true Christianity?
Yeah.
Not I, but Christ. And so I think that's the light that Jesus was talking about. We're almost through here already. So we'll get into the sermon then. How's that? I don't care about stuff like that. As long as I'm up here for what, 20 minutes or so, as long as the Holy Spirit touches people's hearts, who cares? See? I didn't get through the sermon, who cares? As long as Jesus spoke to you, who cares? Right? Low expectations, right? So, by the way, I was at the post office this past week because I was trying to figure out, I didn't have information as to what, we mail out 800 invitations to our community around us, and I couldn't find it on their website. They've done something to the website. So I went to the post office to find out which postal route that we're supposed to give it to and whatever. And the lady that was there, I was waiting in line, she finally saw me. She says, oh, she looked a little familiar. She says, oh yeah, you're the church that does this pancake breakfast. For the last 3 years, it's been the same person I've come to at the post office to hand out these, mail these things. And last year she said, I remember her, last year she said, oh, isn't that fantastic? A church that's actually, doing something for the community. Isn't that wonderful? And then it just happened to the same person again. Oh, yeah, I know you. Yeah, yep, hi, yep, yep. This is the route. She knew exactly what route. She only sees me once a year. She knew exactly what route in the Nanaimo that we need. Just like that. Yeah, and she's bringing it Monday. That's tomorrow. And, we'll look at them on Wednesday or Thursday. Yep. Great. Isn't that fantastic? Well, how to serve pancakes to our community. Really quickly. Number one, we serve pancakes with a good life. He says, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Is it one back there? I'm not sure. I'm not sure where we're at here. Number one. We're getting there, anyhow. There we go. Good. We serve pancakes with a good life. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Well, what is the good life? Well, I just said the good life. What's the next slide there? I just said the good life, I believe, is the Sermon on the Mount. That's how we are witness at light. And you look at 1 Peter 3, 8-11, which is, the context of this statement. It sounds like the same stuff, eh? It's just like, oh, you guys think the same way. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate. Humble. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay someone with a blessing if they insult you. For whoever would love life and see good days, keep their tongue from evil. Don't be cutting people down with your tongue and be deceitful in your speech. That's the good life. Sounds like the Beatitudes to me. So that's what he's talking about, what it means. And number two, we serve pancakes with unconditional love. Oh, we just talked about that. He goes on to say, even if you should suffer for what's right, you're blessed. Like, this is radical stuff. Who does this by nature? Not me. It's the power of the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that enables this to happen. It's a miracle. So that's okay. Keeping a clear conscience. He said earlier, he goes on to say in verse 16, keeping a clear conscience so that those that speak maliciously against your good behavior may be ashamed of their slander. Sometimes, eventually, if you keep on loving people unconditionally, and they keep on, dumping on you, and you keep on loving on them unconditionally, sometimes, eventually, God can sometimes get through to a person, and they'll say, you know what? I tried to break you down with hate, but you just kept on showing me love. What do you got? What do you got? Right? And it happened with, what happened with Stephen. Remember, Stephen was preaching the gospel, and the apostle Paul was not converted yet, and he was responsible to cause people's deaths, and Stephen was witnessing, and all the people got angry, and Paul was there. He was the one supervising, and they stoned Stephen to death. Remember that? And Stephen said, Lord, and he says, His face was glowing with joy. And he figured it out, right? His face was glowing with joy. And he said, Lord Jesus, don't count this sin against them. Forgive them. Sounds like Jesus on the cross, right? Imagine that. Sounds like Jesus on the cross. And he said, don't do it. And eventually Paul saw that. He made it known. Paul was standing there. And eventually that stuck in his brain. And eventually that was one of the things, I believe, that brought him to Christ. Like, what kind of reaction is this? This is unbelievable. Supernatural love. Yikes. So, that's where God wants us to get to at some point in time. And I know that it's easy to get upset, even with unjust treatment as Christians. I know there was one politician recently in Canada that was a Christian that was concerned about how, Christianity is being prejudiced against in our society. And I don't know the details. I'm sure it's a very frustrating thing to be a politician. But at the same time, I'm thinking, yeah, Are we supposed to get special treatment? Or we're not even supposed to get equal treatment. The world doesn't like the humble grace of Jesus. It's opposed to it. I don't know why, but we just find, and this is a miracle of God's love to touch our hearts. We just want to be in control, right? We want to be controllers. And it's like meekness. Why do we trust God? We don't like to trust God. We like to be in control. I'm afraid of what's going to happen, so I want to control things. By nature, we're all control freaks. God says, you don't have to be a control freak. Trust me. Give it to me. I'm Lord, and I'm love, right? I'm Lord, and I'm love. Just trust me. Relax. Don't be a control freak. Amen? We're all control freaks. Let's admit it. To one degree or another. Life should be this way, and this person shouldn't be acting like this. And if what good does that do? Trust me. Give it to God. Just keep on loving. And I don't even know where I'm at here. Let's go to number three. We serve pancakes with a calm spirit. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Well, you can see that. Like if you trust in the Lord, you've got nothing to fear. You don't have to be a control freak, right? What's the next one? Number four. We serve pancakes with the joy of Jesus. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. What's the next slide there? You know, it's like, what does it mean to set apart Jesus as Lord? I like Romans 8 in this passage here. Paul says, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? When you experience trouble in your life, is that going to separate you from the love of Christ? No. Hardship? No. Persecution? No. He's saying these things will come into your life. Can you say amen to that? Have you experienced these things? Even as a Christian, you say, Lord, how come this is happening, right? He says, it's going to happen. But is it going to separate you from the love of Christ? His famine? And you've ever got a place where you don't have so much, you don't even have enough money to feed yourself? I don't know. Or clothe yourself properly? Nakedness? Is it possible that we'll never be in danger once we're a Christian? You know, the sword is talking about, being murdered or something like that. These things, we're still vulnerable to these things as Christians, he says. But will that separate you from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death nor life. Are you afraid of death? Hope not. Angels or demons? Well, I'm not afraid of those dudes. Hope not. Neither the present nor the future. What's going to happen in the future? I'm so afraid. What's going to happen? What's going to happen is going to happen, but Jesus is Lord. Any powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation, anything you can think of, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus is in the Lord. Jesus is in control. What do you got to worry about? He's going to keep loving you no matter what happens. Can you believe that? He's going to keep loving you no matter. He's going to be there for you no matter what happens. And of course, when we die, we get transferred into a new state where all our selfishness and pride gets wiped out totally, and we're just pure with the love of Jesus and spending with Jesus with eternity in eternity. That's a good deal too. What do you think? That's a good deal too. What's the next slide? I get to get going through here. We serve pancakes with a gentle response, right? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So here's the summary of that. Be prepared to answer any questions. You know, you might be sitting with someone and they find out you're from this church, and they might ask you a question about, a little bit about your faith or what you do here, whatever. And they may or may not. But he says, if they do, just tell them. And hopefully you get something out of being here. You know what I mean? Hopefully there's some kind of peace and joy and profit of being in fellowship here. Something, So then you just tell them that, whatever that something is. You just tell them, this is what I get out of it, and what have you. Number two, let's give them a reason to ask the questions. Like, if they see you all grumpy and mumbly and they may not ask that question. Let's give them a reason to ask that question. Why? How come you guys are doing this? How come you got a sense of peace and joy? What's going on here? And number three, we need to answer gently and respectfully. Even if they ask roughly, it's like, okay, that's the challenge of the love of Christ, the love of God, right? And so that's the way God loves us. He loves us when we're not lovable sometimes. What's the next slide, finally? Your attitude. I like this, Philippians 2. We'll close with this. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Have a servant's heart like Jesus. He humbled himself. Humble yourself. And Lord, whatever you want, be obedient to death. Lord, whatever you want is fine with me. even if it's death. And even death on a cross, that would be a horrible death, I think. But therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. What is it? What is he saying? He's saying because Jesus did this and humbled himself and showed his incredible love and gentleness and patience, because he did that, instead of demanding respect, he gained respect. Does that make sense? Jesus did not demand respect. God can make every knee bow just like right now. Is he strong enough to do that? He could force us to bow before him right now. But is that what he's after? Outward conformity? What's he after? He's after our hearts. He's after our love. He's after our trust. He's after transformation. And that requires patient, servant, love. Loving when you get slapped in the face, just keep on loving. And that's the way Jesus was. And God says, because you're willing to be that way, then people are going to bow before you. And that's the way we should reflect that same kind of love, right? And that's what attracts people to Jesus. Right? That unconditional, humble, supernatural love. What's going on? What's the reason for the hope you have? I'd like to know. I'm being drawn to this kind of God that you are worshiping and being transformed by. So, we're going to have